Good evening, to everyone. I'm very pleased to be together with you all again tonight after 6 weeks of when Lama Zopa was here and giving teachings, and you all had this fantastic opportunity to hear the Dharma and accumulate a lot of merit. And now we all come together again. So this pleases me greatly.
Chasan, Chesu, Adam, Gumba, Dan, Chesan, Timbu, Yus, and then Chesu, Yan, Dana, Legal, and the Gibe, Masayabu, Yus, and then the Gibe, Yahoo, Jigdus, and then Legia, Badan, and the Tajigan, Chale, the Gay, Yahoo, Jenna, and the Gibe, Yahoo, Yus, as she be.
And Rinpoche was very pleased with all the endeavors that the staff and volunteers at the teacher center and the stupa and the monastery have put into developing this place over these number of years, as well as for the retreat itself. So this brought great joy to his mind. And Rinpoche encouraged me to continue to teach here and to continue to teach a lot to all of you. Now we come to start restart our classes after having this this intervening period. But in this intervening period, it's not that we did nothing. We had the opportunity to receive other teachings and accumulate a tremendous amount of virtue. So now tonight we continue in the second half of page
255.
We've been talking, so previous to breaking for Rinpoche's visit, we've been looking at the topic of emptiness for a while. And the last section we're looking at, emptiness was there being likened to a panacea that can cure all illnesses. So here what we're being encouraged, what we're being encouraged to do is whatever we practice or whatever meditation we are engaging in, we should do so in conjunction with our understanding of emptiness. And if we do that, tremendous benefit will come. When engaging in practices of the Mahayana, the two minds that are essential are the minds of the mind of enlightenment or bodhicitta, and secondly, the wisdom realizing emptiness. These two are required in order to fulfill the goal or the ambition of the Mahayana, in other words, the state of full enlightenment. If a practitioner engages exclusively in the cultivation of the wisdom that is realizing emptiness, they will not be able to attain Buddhahood. Similarly, if another practitioner is very inspired to develop bodhicitta and develops bodhicitta and develops it further and further, but doesn't also cultivate the wisdom realizing emptiness, they too cannot attain enlightenment. So therefore, to fulfill the goal of the Mahayana, to attain enlightenment, you need to practice both of the two main practices of the Mahayana, bodhicitta, and the mind that is the wisdom realizing emptiness.
And
furthermore, the Mahayana has the two divisions of the perfection path as well as the tantric path. And so the essential characteristic, the essential need to practice both bodhicitta and the wisdom realizing emptiness. This applies to both the sutra path or the perfection path as well as the tantric path. So if one receives initiations and engages in tantric practice, but does so without bodhicitta or the wisdom understanding emptiness, then one's practice will not be successful. These minds, both of these minds, bodhicitta and the wisdom understanding emptiness, are essential. So maybe 12 lines from the bottom of page 255 is a quote from Aryadeva, and here he says that even to wonder whether or not all things are empty by nature would make samsara fall apart. What this quotation means is that for ordinary practitioners who haven't realized emptiness or have no realization of emptiness, if they think about emptiness, and they think, so do phenomena exist truly? Do phenomena not exist truly? Do things exist in the way that they appear or not? And then they think, well, possibly they do not exist in the way that they appear. Possibly all phenomena are not truly existent. Then that mind of doubt, which is not a realization of emptiness, but is a doubt about the nature of reality, that still has the power to weaken our afflictions, to shake samsara. And the meaning of shaking samsara is that even that doubt, that mere doubt, has the power to weaken our afflicted minds. So how does it work that just this mere mind of doubt has the power to weaken our afflictions? Well, this is because a mind of doubt is a mind that is investigating, that's analyzing, that's thinking. So here the practitioner is thinking for herself. She's thinking, do phenomena exist in the way that they appear or not? Do phenomena exist truly or not? So this mind of doubt is doubting about the preconceptions we have about reality, and is coming closer to the understanding of how reality actually is. So this is why doubt has doubt about reality has so much power, because when it's leading one towards an understanding of reality, that already starts to weaken our afflicted minds.
ene kumaru shine kumaba kumadi na nyumo ba inde chibar samta ruwa ta kumaji je je kambe shina la ane kamba tonba na la ya yibne de ba ina ane nyendo ba de tegali ro kuma tegali de da ta kum nyendo ba de tonyo de ta wa na samta na ji gore je na nyendo ba de kamba de la kuma de yena me na sam chikin de wa yigire da sam dopa sa ba ina ndi na la kamba de yeme zegire wa Doba korama dinde yigi marasa doba korama masa vashe Roshya bayna degi marwa Chesa mini kuma digi Ani kamba nab jayashe Mini nyendo korwa tungko rwa Tungwa yadu nyendo korwa digi kamba dili Atas tas chidi Oda khonsa diya doba saya zagin sare Diya zay sare samche ko shena shukchimi gigirwa Da mi korama da che Nyendo korwa digi paa rukuyo na Kamba dili mi korama da rukuyo na को कुमादी लोदिबुसियो ता खस हागु मासन खस मा ड्रोसन समजे को शेना मे लोदिबुस दिगिरोवा चेना नेन दोबा दिगे खंगबदेले तास तास सिदि अति यनि येना मेनास दोबा सा तास तास सिदि तो कुमादी ओ ता हिगोर ओ ता खस ता कि दुदा मा थों थों सेना जुगिरे सम येना हिगोरोवा अ दिना शि चेबारे चे यो दयो मदु कुमा शेबा ना जि न्योमो बदे देस कुजो छि थुगोरे चेना न्योमो बबा याला ये को थेसम सावाते जेसान थेसम साने जेबाजे जेबाजे यदु तेन योमो बादिले निगोर शुक्षर दे कुमा जीवनाजि जीवारे दु छगोरवा
So we can to understand this clearly we can use an analogy. So in this analogy, a thief is likened to our afflicted minds, and our mind then could be the house that the thief has now has entered in to go about his work and go and steal things. So if the thief is inside the house, and can, the thief then can take their time and do what it is that they do. But then if they hear a car passing outside and they see the car stop and the police emerge from the car, and the police they see looking at the house in which the thief is hiding, looking at the house with an expression of doubt, then approaching the house to investigate, that thief is now going to be quite fearful, and they're going to hurry up and get out of there, or they can hide away, because they know that the police, who are likened here to wisdom, the police are approaching, and the police are coming to investigate and come to see what is happening. So in the same way, when we use our wisdom, then these afflicted minds, they start to, you could say, shake in fear. In other words, they start to weaken, because they now can no longer go about the evil deeds, so to speak, because of the power of wisdom that is coming from just this mind of
doubt.
So here, the state of the afflicted minds that dominate us are so, these can be likened to illnesses. Then, the panacea, the one panacea that can cure all illnesses, this then is likened to the unmistaken realization of emptiness. So here, we encourage them to develop this panacea, this medicine that can cure all illnesses, the one antidote that can eliminate all our afflicted minds.
Then,
one has an understanding or an attained an understanding or a realization of emptiness, then this serves to power whatever practice one is doing, whether it's a practice of the Mahayana Dharma or the Theravada Dharma. This understanding of emptiness serves to power whichever path, whichever mental path one is cultivating. So how does this work? So here there's a question from Trontompa, and then an answer follows from Lama Atisha. So the question from Trontompa is, how can every element of the path be included within the realization of emptiness? Then Lama Atisha starts to reply by saying, all the elements of the path are contained in the six transcendent perfections. Or you could say, all practices are included within the six perfections.
Zada dinigi dubainza anda dubaina jina dubaina tonyu tobaina phajun duge nyamlendi ni yago yongres yago yongre jere.
So the meaning is that if one's understanding of emptiness will ensure that one's practice of the six perfections is successful, goes well.
Zada phajun dukse de ngad jinbi phajun tsudinge phajun suwe phajun tone phajun something share up.
So these six perfections, the perfections of generosity, ethical conduct, patience, joyous perseverance, concentration and wisdom, are of particular importance. These are the main practices of bodhisattvas. So for a being to become a bodhisattva, they generate the mind of bodhicitta, and this mind of enlightenment, or the mind of bodhicitta, this arises first from intensive training in the cultivation of the minds of love and the minds of compassion. And from these comes the mind of special intention, where they commit to striving for enlightenment for the sake of all sentient beings. And to do that, they know they need to attain Buddhahood for the sake of others. So in this way, they give rise to the motivation of bodhicitta. And then they engage in these six practices with the motivation of bodhicitta combined with their understanding of emptiness, or their realization of emptiness. So with these two minds as their motivation, bodhicitta and the wisdom understanding emptiness, bodhisattvas engage in these six perfections as their main practices. So what we've just heard about now is about beings who are striving for Buddhahood for the sake of others, those who have entered into the paths of the Mahayana or have a genuine aspiration to attain them. Other practitioners, they have a different motivation. Their motivation is just to attain liberation from cyclic existence for themselves alone. So their motivation is different. They have given rise to a strong, a heartfelt wish to attain their own individual liberation from suffering. They see the attainment of Buddhahood as something as being too difficult, but their desire is to attain individual liberation. So these beings engage in similar practices, those of generosity, ethical conduct, patience, joy, perseverance, concentration, and wisdom, but with a different goal and motivation. For those practitioners who aren't and haven't given rise to a wish for either liberation from cyclic existence in its entirety or to attain enlightenment for the sake of others, but they're rather striving to ensure that they have a good rebirth, that don't fall into the suffering realms, then they too engage in four of these six practices, namely generosity, ethical conduct, generosity, patience, and joyous perseverance. Those four are required to receive a precious human rebirth. So just to recap, so for the being who has generated aspirations to attain enlightenment for the sake of all beings, has given rise to this wish, this mind of bodhicitta, the mind of enlightenment, and thereby engages in the practice of the six perfections, and they're engaging in the path of the Mahayana. And they, as we hear in our Lamrim presentation, would be called a being of great capacity. And those, though, who are also engaging in the same six practices, but without the mind of bodhicitta, and are striving for their own individual liberation from samsara, they are called a being of middling capacity or intermediate capacity. And then those who haven't given rise to a genuine wish for such a goal, then they and are rather striving just to ensure that they have another good rebirth so they can continue their practice. So such a being there is not engaging in all six practices, but the first four, namely ethical conduct, generosity, patience, and joyous perseverance. They are called a being of smallest capacity. So we see there's a clear similarity in their practices, but a great difference in their motivation.
So the
Buddha himself, he taught a vast array of different teachings, but if these are all condensed, they're condensed down into the Lamrim, and then the Lamrim itself can be divided into these three different presentations, that of the beings of small, intermediate, and greatest capacity.
If
one wants to condense it even more so, it can be condensed right down into our very refuge prayer that we recite. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By the merits I create through practicing generosity and so forth, may I become a Buddha in order to benefit all sentient beings. Now that we, so we all sitting here, we've attained a precious human rebirth. So that is something that is certain. We don't need to have any doubt about it. But what's important to keep at the forefront of our mind is that even if we have the wish to attain liberation from psychic existence in its entirety or Buddhahood for the sake of others, if we don't do that in this life, then we need another good basis, another good rebirth in our very next life and our lives beyond that, so that we can continue our progression of spiritual development. And amongst the variety of different bases for practice, the very best is the rebirth of a human, otherwise as a god. The other kinds of rebirth, such as an animal, are not suitable to develop one's mind, to continue one's spiritual training and development. So therefore, it's imperative that we continue to receive a good rebirth such as we have attained in this life. And to attain such a rebirth, the principal cause is that of guarding our ethical conduct. And the meaning of guarding our ethical conduct is developing a mind of restraint, developing a mind that commits to not harming others. This mind of restraint is what is meant by practicing ethical conduct, and that is the primary cause, the principal cause for attaining future good
rebirths.
So to ensure that we continue to have good rebirths, rebirths similar and even better to what we have now, we need to guard our ethical conduct, develop and act under this mind of restraint. But this alone, ensuring that we have good rebirth, this alone is not enough to ensure that we are able to continue our spiritual development. Because if one attains a human rebirth, but one's, one is impoverished, or if one's material conditions are very poor, or if the accumulation of material conditions can only be done through great hardship, then this too serves as a major obstacle to one's spiritual development. If one's struggling to have sufficient food to feed oneself or to feed one's family, one's struggling to have somewhere safe and comfortable to live, then it's very difficult to have the free time and the mental space required in order to develop spiritually. So therefore, to ensure that in our future lives that we have good material resources, then we need to engage in the practice of generosity. And so all the good material conditions that we're experiencing in this very life, this comes from the causes that we accumulated in past lives. And those causes were accumulated through the practice of generosity, and we are now experiencing their ripening results in this very life. So to ensure that in our future lives, we continue to have good conditions like we have now, good material resources, then we need to ensure that we engage in the practice of generosity. So, if one then engages in the practices of ethical conduct and generosity, then one is creating the causes for a good rebirth, such as a human, with good material resources. However, even if one attains that, but one's sense powers are poor. For example, if one's intelligence is limited, or if one's eyesight is impeded, or one's hearing is impeded, or one cannot speak, these too become major obstacles to the cultivation or to one's spiritual development, or the development of the mind of the Dharma within oneself. So, of course, if one is deaf, it's difficult to hear the teachings. If one is blind, one cannot study extensively. And if one has a mental impediment, then meditation is difficult. So to accumulate the causes to ensure that our sense powers are faultless, then one needs to engage in the practice of patience. So through engaging in the practice of patience, one accumulates the causes to ensure that our sense powers, amongst other things, will be flawless. So therefore, to ensure that our rebirths go well, we need to practice ethical conduct firstly, as well as generosity and patience.
ちょっと見せてやるよ。ニューバチキメーセンブツルムソヤリア、セムヤガランラペアゴレアスネガシンチョシンガネツルムソヤダ。アネチゲ、セブコミアリア、アネガシンチョシンガネセブコム、ディネチェバネ、ツルムサバネ、ディディディブディギキャワチマリア、アネジビニャムネチェアダ。アンセビニャムネチェ、チュエチェアリア、アンペ、ガボダ、ドニルシムディゴレチェ、ディティブ、チェザツルムシアディ、ギチムシャワ。ディザディネギチャザサンドネ、チュエラドニエルメディゲン、 제가 ndigi debu di jewa chima dele denle ya an de nigi chue chia lia an gana ma je dunye shu chimu li gore insa zunri di nye jie chimu cha gore
And fourthly is the mind of joyous perseverance. So this is a mind that takes delight in the practicing of virtue. So it's a mind that is delighted whenever there is an opportunity to practice generosity or to ensure that one doesn't bring harm to others but rather brings benefit to others. Or a mind that takes delight in the practice of patience. So this is the mind of joyous perseverance. And this creates, due to taking joy in the pursuit of virtue, this creates the habituation to engaging in virtue. Because if we enjoy something, we want to do it again and again. And then this ripens in our future lives to having the wish to want to practice generosity, to want to not harm others, to have this mind of restraint, to want to be patient in the face of adversity. So the result of joyous perseverance is that we'll want to continue in this and future lives to engage in the practice of virtue. We can see around us in the world there are many people who have accumulated in past lives very good causes, and they have now ripened in this life, and they are born as human beings, and have good, very good material conditions, and their physical state is maybe they're very handsome, very beautiful, so they're very impressive. But they have no interest, or very limited interest, in the pursuit of virtue. And so this shows a lack of the causes that come, the lack of the accumulation of joyous perseverance, or the causes that come from practicing joyfully. So therefore this fourth practice, that of joyous perseverance, is also very important.
Molam 소수기 대바치 라마디디 게디네 라마디잖아 라마디가 어 총베네 나 델이야 안 나 라마유스 델이 끼에체 라마디즈네 취슈네 안 취냐네 제고 용어쇼스네 모나제 모나제 게시무슈차고레 안 데네 게베사와 강사바디게네 델레데네 게주야고 주투와쇼스메 모남제디 예치무차고레 진네 모남제바이나 지사 안 게와치마도 띠엔상보 톱디네기 튀니체단 도묘도 네 몰람 약보 잡아네 몰람 디기 떡기에 안에 가서 개베 신년 약보 다 체야다네 체체설을 깨야다 되는 게 안에 약보 온 거래시래
And the next practice that's mentioned here is not actually included within the six perfections, but it is one that needs to be done as well, and that is engage in prayer or dedication. So here, with all this virtue that we accumulate, we need to dedicate it in a variety of ways. And so one of them is serves the purpose of ensuring that when this merit that we have accumulated ripens in good rebirths in the future, that those good rebirths become precious. In other words, that we continue to meet the Dharma and practice the Dharma. So here, whenever we dedicate the virtue that we've accumulated, we should dedicate so that in all future rebirths, we take rebirth in the land where our teachers abide, where our teachers too live. And moreover, that we meet our teachers and we immediately have faith in them and in their teachings. And then moreover, not only do we have faith in their teachings, but we strive to apply their teachings, to study them and to develop them within our minds. And thereby, we dedicate as well so that we can fulfill the heartfelt wishes of our teachers and give rise to the actual minds of the Dharma that they are teaching. So this is another important part of our practice, where we dedicate our virtue so that our good future rebirths are precious rebirths, rebirths where we meet the Dharma, inspired by our teachers and their teachings, and put their teachings into practice through study and meditation, and thereby fulfill the hopes and the wishes of our teachers. These four practices of ethical conduct, generosity, patience, and joyous perseverance. We've now heard about the essential ripening results that they bring in our future lives, but they also have immediate benefits for us in this very life. So for example, when one engages in the practice of ethical conduct, in other words, one meditates and develops this mind of restraint, this mind that commits to, I will not harm others in any way at all. I will not harm others through my physical behavior, my verbal behavior, or even my train of thought. And moreover, whenever I can benefit others, I will do so, whether it's through activity, physical activity, or my way of speaking, and certainly through having positive, beneficial minds, I will do so. This then, of course, brings great happiness to ourselves. It ensures we don't harm others at all, but we bring benefit to them. So this practice of ethical conduct brings benefit to ourselves and others in this very life. The practice of generosity, this of course brings benefit to others in this life, but it also brings benefits to us because it ensures that we have good relations with others. Others have a sense of closeness to us and we have with them, and we have good relations with everyone. And similarly with the practice of patience, because the practice of patience is a mind that is open and spacious in the face of adversity. It's not necessarily staying quiet when one is receiving abuse, but rather it is a mind that stays open and spacious and enables one to act wisely. So therefore, if one is practicing patience skillfully, oneself stays happy and content no matter what is being thrown at one. But moreover, one develops harmonious relationships with others. And through oneself being calm and gentle, then even when others are disturbed in your presence, they are angry, they are frustrated or annoyed, their afflictive minds will slowly start to calm. And in this way, you have a beneficial impact on them immediately. And they enjoy being in your company, knowing that just from the power of your own calm and spacious mind, their minds calm as well. And fourthly, the practice of joyous perseverance also brings great benefits in this life because it powers our virtuous practices. And this mind of joyous perseverance is a mind that takes delight or joy in virtue. So therefore, the more virtuous activities one engages in, the more joyous one's mind is. And therefore, it brings about benefits in this very life too. So therefore, these four practices are of great importance both in this life and in future lives. The fifth and sixth practices or perfections are those of concentration and wisdom. So these are absolutely crucial for those who have the wish to abandon all our afflicted minds, who have the wish to free themselves from all suffering and be of greatest ultimate benefit to others. So for to abandon afflicted minds, concentration and wisdom is essential. So looking first at concentration then, this is required because right now our minds have no power. They are very weak. And this is due to their constant distraction. When we try to meditate and hold a virtuous object, whether it's love or impermanence or understanding of emptiness, in moments our mind is distracted away from that. And a little while later we come back to our meditation, and in a moment it's gone somewhere else again. And this shows the lack of power due to the lack of concentration in our minds. So to develop mental power, it's essential that we develop the mind of concentration, because that is able to hold any virtuous object single-pointedly, undistractedly. Without this mind of concentration, liberation or enlightenment is impossible to achieve. So therefore, concentration is crucial. If a practitioner has engaged in the cultivation of calm abiding or the single-pointed concentration and has even achieved it, but they don't then use this powerful mind to meditate on emptiness, it's impossible to abandon their afflicted minds, because without meditating on emptiness, it's not possible to eliminate the root of all our afflicted minds, this mind of self-grasping. So therefore, firstly, one needs to develop this powerful concentrated mind and then use that to investigate reality, to investigate, to see how things exist to investigate whether the way things appear is how they exist. So this then is the practice of wisdom, and it is of particular power when done in conjunction with concentration.
That the passion to win Yamne said, Jechimbo Rimbadi, Gimsen did it, Jechimbo Rimbadi, Gimsen did it.
So, this is why these six practices, these six perfections, are so very, very important.
Nana, this one, Tizan, and the Tony, Dunchimalova, Tobaina, and the Jigi Deji, Pastor Lamji, Sazan Parishin.
所以 now continuing with the text, here we come to the, we're going to look again at the answer from Lama Titian, where he explains why, if one has an unmistaken understanding of emptiness, then the practice of the perfections will turn out well, or will progress very well. When you're looking at the last paragraph on the bottom of page 255, so here Lama Tisha presents the relationship between emptiness and the perfections, with that relationship between, sorry, the understanding of emptiness, the wisdom realizing emptiness, and the other perfections. So when we as ordinary people engage in the practice of generosity, the contrary mind to the mind of giving, which is the practice of generosity, the contrary mind, the mind of miserliness, this is still very strong for us. And this is because attachment is strong for us. The stronger our attachment, the stronger our miserliness. And that means the objects that we could practice generosity with, we have strong grasping for them. And that leads to the selfish mind of miserliness being strong within us. And then this impedes the way that we practice generosity, either the frequency or the sincerity of our generosity. On the other hand, though, a practitioner who has come to an understanding of emptiness or a realization of emptiness, then for her, her mind of attachment is that much weaker. And because the mind of attachment is weaker, then the selfish mind of miserliness, this too is much weaker. And the stronger the understanding of emptiness, then the weaker the contrary minds, such as the mind of attachment and miserliness, are, and therefore the more wholehearted the practice of generosity will be, the more sincere the practice of generosity will be. And for this reason, then, the practitioner can continuously or uninterruptedly engage in the practice of generosity, because the practice of generosity will not be impeded by selfish minds of attachment and miserliness, but rather, due to the understanding of emptiness, then this mind of giving will not be impeded by those contrary minds. So therefore, if one has a realization or an understanding of emptiness, then this has a great impact on the power of one's practice of generosity. However, this understanding of emptiness, if all one has as a motivation leading to the practice, then it's likely your practice will just be one motivated by the wish to attain liberation for oneself alone. So therefore, to be a practice of the Mahayana, we also need to practice generosity not only with our understanding of emptiness, but also with the mind of bodhicitta. So these two minds are required, the understanding of emptiness as well as the mind of enlightenment. These two minds are required to be present in the practice of generosity, or to be present with the practice of generosity, so that we attain and develop causes that will lead to enlightenment. If one does practice generosity, for example, giving some bread to someone who's hungry, and one does so with the motivation to lead all sentient beings to a state freed from all suffering, and one does so with an understanding of emptiness, then one is doing this practice of generosity with the motivation of the Mahayana, and accumulates tremendous amounts of virtue. Whereas if one is offering the same piece of bread to the same hungry person, but is doing it with an understanding of emptiness, of maybe the emptiness of the object and the activity and the person doing the practice, so has an understanding of emptiness, but there's no mind or bodhicitta present, then there will rather just be the wish to attain individual liberation. Still, a virtuous activity and a tremendous amount of virtue is created, but that amount of virtue is only middling when compared to the great merit that is accumulated by the previous practitioner. Then the third person who offers the same piece of bread to the same person, but does so just thinking, in my next life, I want to have abundant resources. I don't want to go hungry. I want to have all that I need. Then it's a virtuous act, and they are creating virtue, but incomparably less to what the other practitioners are accumulating. So this is just, I mentioned this here, to emphasize the need for our motivation, in particular in our motivation to have the mind of bodhicitta and the understanding of emptiness present, so that that same activity actually becomes an activity of the Mahayana.
Mijigi Chikchilia Chaji New Trevache, Kobichi New Treje, and Kunwada Niji Kolya Kovit, Semja Tamja Deva Temba Duma Tao Show, Samja, Semja Tamji Duna Sanji, Semja Tamja Duma the Chagudu, Semja the Digida Dengudu, Tadi Dundala Nichigin, Jesang Sanjo Goma Toba Chigin, Dinza, Sanjo Goma Tobalaya, and the Jimmy Yamlin Tachin Gord, Dinzang Edi, Kovit Kolya Jibatangi, Samche, Dituna is a Kobichi. Stigma to New Jemene, and this when I'm the Pechimusare. And Ponchamurajik, don't I need some chick? Adangidi, cause let the shower and I get rushing with you that Quetia Sansatico, Ninchimuchai Samje, the name sometimes they have an Quetia the Chigi Jagila come at the day of my chicken with Ponchamurja, when you go on a car said that. Joson Chigi chair, or the Sunum Chuma Mother, I am mother. Chigi Joson, the new Major Mother, Nam Kumo, Simuza Sunum, Mazimusa, or Jesamato, Gare, Jevenem, the Nigi, Kumo, the Kitchimuchawara.
And just to emphasize the importance of motivation, let's take two illustrations. So if you offer a cup of tea or a coffee to someone, and you make this offering to them with a heartfelt wish that through this merit that I create now by offering just this mere cup of tea or coffee to this person, through this merit may I become a Buddha so as to lead all beings to a state completely free from suffering, lead them to a state of lasting happiness of a Buddha. And with such a motivation we offer a cup of tea or coffee, we create a huge amount of virtue from this $4 offering. Whereas, if we offer something much more expensive, so for example, an iPhone, so that's something that costs like more than $1,000. So this is something very expensive, of far greater value than a cup of tea or coffee. But we offer it with the wish to maybe to receive some recognition and be thought of as a kind person and as a generous person. Then despite offering something of so much more value, because of the far, the more tainted motivation, then one creates far less virtue than in the previous instance of offering just merely a cup of tea or coffee.
Milia, 일명 있으면 그래 잘 내가 지금 말해서 최선 추림지 아니라 이디나 추림이라고 용 소도 그래서
And similarly with the second practice, that of ethical conduct, this will be greatly enhanced, this practice of ethical conduct is greatly enhanced through our understanding of emptiness. So when we don't guard our ethical conduct well, we harm others through either physical or verbal activities, or through having a negative train of thought. So here, for example, through having a mind of attachment, we engage in harmful activities. We may steal from others, we may deceive others, we may lie to others. But if we have come to an understanding, or we've developed an understanding of emptiness, then that mind of emptiness will weaken our mind of attachment. And therefore, if we have far weaker attachment, we're not going to have the main motivating cause that brings harm to others. So for example, if someone speaks to us in an abusive manner, or an inappropriate manner, then pride arises within us and attachment arises within us, and we then respond in a similar way to how they've spoken to us. So here we are not guarding our ethical conduct, and due to the power of attachment and pride and other such afflicted minds, we respond in a harmful manner, not in a skillful manner. Whereas if we have developed an understanding of emptiness, then in such a situation, mind of attachment is either not going to arise or will arise in a way that's very weak. And that will enable us to have the mental space to think, how can we respond skillfully? How can we respond in a way that brings benefit to this person who is clearly unhappy before me? So in this way, through the power of our understanding of emptiness, our practice of ethical conduct, this mind of restraint, this too is enhanced. Thirdly is the practice of patience. So patience is required because minds such as anger and annoyance and frustration arise very easily within us, and they tend to arise towards people who we perceive as either harming us or harming those that we care for, our loved ones. So the reason that minds of anger and frustration arise within us is because of our grasping at the I and grasping at mine. Whereas if we have developed an understanding of emptiness, this mind that grasps that I and mine, this weakens. And as this weakens, then our mind becomes much more peaceful because our mind is not so dominated by the mind of these grasping minds. And therefore our mind is more peaceful and spacious. And then in the face of adversity, our mind, through the understanding of emptiness, is more likely to remain peaceful and spacious, and thereby we can practice patience in the face of adversity. And in this way, our practice of patience is powered by our understanding of emptiness.
Give you to jail, engineer, Lelo de Karjin Ligor Labna, Mazuki, Zemola, Chavi, Cha, Shen, Legala Charge, or the Chick, Shen, Namiang, Legala Charge, or that thing I did Jodu, that you did Jamajo, Yamni Chichi, Chaj said, and Lelo Charo, Chesa Dinza, Dian, Shen, Lia, and Namiang, Legala Chavi, Wangi, and Zugi, Lelo, Lelo, and Tundida, Wingomara, Dinza, Yomoba, Dazi. Don't you talk about New Momba, the Shanley, Chapa, Chapa, New Mom, Chabata, and Dazin Shuchun, Jin Chun Ravasa, Givi Chavala, in Jehalia, and a door to Shuchiri, which is a Jundi Gidina, Jundi, and you match away up to the Ejere.
Unfortunately, joyous perseverance is powered through our understanding of emptiness, in that joyous perseverance is a mind that overcomes the various forms of laziness. So laziness is something that we have too much familiarity with, in particular the form of procrastination. So the mind of procrastination is the mind that says, oh, not today, maybe tomorrow. Or maybe after this busy period is over, I will engage in virtue then. So this mind is a mind that prevents us or limits how much virtue that we engage in. But if we have come to an understanding of emptiness and our self-grasping weakens and we have an understanding of the potential or the possibility of the attainment of liberation, because we know we are developing the direct antidote to self-grasping, then the wish will arise very strongly within us to engage in virtue, and we'll want to engage in virtue. So this is how the wisdom understanding emptiness serves to power our practice of joyous perseverance. Because we'll want to engage in virtue, we will not fall prey to minds of procrastination and the other forms of laziness. Fifthly, the mind of concentration. So this is a mind that we don't have, and it's due to the presence of attachment. Because of being attached to various objects or various memories or various thoughts, our mind is continuously distracted. When the attachment arises within us, we become distracted, and then we believe in that distraction, in that our mind follows that distraction, and maybe we get up off our cushion and we rather do this and do that, and later we'll come back to our meditation. So this is how our distraction through attachment impedes our development of concentration, of course, as well as other virtuous minds. So a mind that is undistracted is a mind that is not dominated by attachment. Because it's attachment that distracts the mind. So to overcome attachment, one needs an understanding of emptiness. The stronger one's understanding of emptiness, the weaker the mind of attachment, therefore the less distracted the mind is, and therefore the more concentrated the mind becomes.
Don't you go, Roger, Shay Gangle, Ganga Sedilia, and Jimbatayata, and the Shaylia, Chesh, Tulum Sunjuyata, and the Sabin Yamnachia, Jayusimilagadiro, Yamnidiro. Jesa, Jayusim Big Chalena, the Lagadi Madura, Jimba, Tulum Zabatun, something, Shay of Ditu Madamindu, the Guna Jayusemda, and the Ninjeta, and the Zawa Jayusemda, Ninjeta, Jamba, the Zawa, and Jayusem, Guna Dije, Guna Dije, and So what's happening? And it's a little bit of a And so,
And the sixth perfection is, of course, that of wisdom, which is the one we're talking about here. So if one practices all these preceding five, as well as the sixth perfection, that of wisdom, well, and that means one is going to practice them with the motivation that's based on bodhicitta, which itself comes from love and compassion, as well as then having an understanding of emptiness. So what is being presented here by Lama Atisha is that when the bodhisattva goes to work, the bodhisattva engages in their primary activities of generosity, ethical conduct, patience, etc. All of these should be done with on a basis of bodhicitta and the wisdom understanding emptiness. And if that is done so, then these practices become a panacea for all one's inner illnesses as well as the illnesses in the world. In other words, all the afflictions of oneself and others. So just to remind ourselves here, this practice of generosity, when it's imbued with a wisdom understanding emptiness, then one is able to genuinely or sincerely practice generosity, to wish to be of benefit to others without a mind of self-interest or a mind of miserliness. When one engages in the practice of ethical conduct, this becomes so much easier and more powerful when one has an understanding of emptiness, because one's own afflictive mind, the cause of us not practicing ethical conduct, are greatly reduced. And then similarly with the practice of patience. When one has an understanding of emptiness, then the practice of patience becomes much easier and much more effective. So if we think of the practice of patience, there are several divisions, and one of them is to do with internal objects, so our own afflictive minds, being skillful with all the obstacles that arise within us. So if we have an understanding of emptiness, then our practice of patience is much more powerful with the inner obstacles, as well as, of course, with outer conditions. So if when we're facing adversity from others, our mind will stay open and spacious and calm due to our understanding of emptiness. So all six, or all the preceding five, are that much more powerful if they're imbued with the understanding of emptiness.
Jimmy Yamlet, Cedil, Sosolatan, and Shania Pember, Pember Duyare, अनि केवा छिमै ने सोसुया अनि थुनी या गोया क्युसाई छगोरवा दिने जा अनि सेबो कोम्या दिए अनि छेदेले सेबो कोम्बाइना अनि सोसुय छेदेले ना सोसुय सिदे छायाता मिशेले ने सिदे चुनथुया अनि केवा छिमै ने सोसु अनि जिक वंबो छवादा या गोया कि दिने के छवा त दाङ जुगि निने निने लिया गरे छेबे ने दाङ जे कुनोरो छिन दाङबो मजुगि जिक सानि सिमजे ताम जेदा देवा दे देमबादा Dungana Java show, the Nichi Yin, the Dijabala, Sanjay Kovan Tobne Mado, and the Pando Jachimbo Chitusa Mare, Jinzan, Sanjay Kovan Toba shows, Dijondala, Sanjay Kovan Tobala, and Jimba Surim Seva Sundry something, Passion to Yamlin Chiwar, Diamlin Magina, Sanjay Kovan Toba, Martin Zadangi, Diringi, Dashan Liada, Ro, Lagare, Chevine. Mais les gens qui ont été en train de se faire, Chikmi SMB ke samlo de kiti ne ado tuchine en surim tike suba soya da ane shenje shengi neva cheba ina delya pa sim kongcho chindi chikmi a SMB ke samda adi da ina zu kie chimbo chago di dine chinda ngara su chasa da kiti ne dini tono ya ane samlo di yonya ya en jangdo ra chigo gora kis yane yano di samda ngwa de chago rwa da gomse de yane yano sam sim di Delia, Jibber, Jibber, the Lukumla, Chesa Dineza, Yana, Yandu, Tisuya, some dialect, Machagore, Dining of the Lapchetti, Chisha, the Tire, Chesa, Jamadilla, and the Negi, Yamlin Jabaina, and among the Chetela Kanashungure, and Soso, and Niam Nala Kansungure, Susi, Shiroji, and the Kansligre, Tashin, Bardoli, and some of Kansligre, and Sidu, and the Nikombana, the Nit in the Ligre. अने नीलम नाले दिने युंगरे शिगाले दिने लेतु बुरे से दिगोर माशु है जे
देन काटु शुना या मने चुप जाक सो सो इन कंक्लूजन देन वी've looked now at the six perfections and these are of particular importance these six practices are of great importance for everyone and we heard tonight about many of these reasons why so practices such as generosity and ethical conduct and patience They bring happiness to ourselves in future lives, but also in this life. And moreover, all those that we directly encounter and indirectly encounter, they also benefit from our practices of generosity, ethical conduct, and patience. The more we develop these minds within us, the greater impact we have on others right now, as well as creating the causes to be of even greater benefit in our future lives. So therefore, whatever we engage in, We should do so with a motivation of the mind of a bodhisattva. In other words, we should generate the mind of bodhicitta thinking that generating the wish firstly for all beings to be freed from suffering, may all beings experience only lasting happiness, and I will make this a reality. And to do that, I commit to striving wholeheartedly to attain enlightenment for the sake of others. And moreover, I will engage in the practices of the six perfections because it's only through engaging in these practices that I will achieve this goal of becoming a Buddha for the benefit of others. And if you generate this motivation in the morning, then generate it in conjunction with an understanding of the events you are likely to have or encounters you're likely to have in the day ahead. So for example, if you generate this motivation in the morning, then you commit that today when I go to work, the work that I do is going to be a practice of generosity. I'm going to engage my job so as to bring benefit to others. All those that I meet and I encounter, I am not only not going to have harmful minds towards them, but I'm going to benefit whenever I can. So in this way we generate a powerful motivation to benefit others, and we do so with our understanding of our ultimate goal, that of Buddhahood for the sake of others, as well as having present whatever understanding of emptiness we have. And it's important that we do this each and every day repeatedly over a sustained period. Because it's only through doing this repeatedly over a sustained period, we'll develop a new mental habit. We'll develop new way of thinking. And that is the meaning of meditation. It's developing habituation. So therefore, it's imperative that we don't just do this when we feel that we have the time or the motivation arises within us or our life is particularly difficult, but rather each and every day, repeatedly over a sustained period. So that's in brief what we looked at tonight. The next week we'll continue from near the top of page 256. And so there we'll talk about the mindset of will be present or the experiences of whilst practicing when one is awake, as well as when one is asleep, as well as at the time of death. So that's where we'll start next week. If you have some questions, please feel free to ask. If you need to go home, please feel free to go home. So, some questions? Yes, Molly.
He probably did explain it, but I probably didn't hear it very well. But the question is, he spoke a little bit about the six perfections plus engaging in prayer. And that's what he only spoke a little bit about, engaging in prayer, from dedicating virtues to meet the Dharma, to practice the Dharma, to meet a teacher, to strive, to apply and study, and to fulfill the wishes of our teachers.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that to me seems pretty important,
mm-hmm.
because I'm not going to be able to do everything else.
Mm-hmm.
So I need to have another go next slide.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't quite understand that the most skillful way to do that, to engage in prayer when you're trying to engage in everything else.
So can Gena say a bit more on the most skillful way to engage in this prayer?
Dedication.
In the dedication. Because that wasn't so clear for me how to do that whilst engaging in all these other practices.
Ultimately, it says the six perfections plus engaging in prayer.
The Dordun Namla, Kalamoma, Monam Kikola Tisung Song, De Kola Yankia Sung Loknam, the Dordure, Ne Gierpa Labna, Dene, the Patsun Tukdan Dravo, De Namlin Chedu, Kandis de Monam Dan Namju, Jacob Rebe, Yang Mowok Dan Namju Jacob Rebe.
Jibin a Jirva, then was in the Padimalam said, and was.
In brief, because Gennady mentioned all these components that were said earlier. So in brief, then when one comes to dedicating either after an activity or at the end of the day, then hold these in mind. So then I ask him, so are you saying making a prayers from one's heart, one's own words, so to speak, or is something separate from the regular dedication prayers that we maybe say. So can I say no, whilst saying the regular dedication prayers that we do, have this in mind. So then he gave us an example, the first one that Gato will recite in a moment, the Betin Gewadi, the start of Gewadi, the first one. So the English is, due to the merit of these virtuous actions, may I quickly attain the state of a Guru Buddha and lead all beings without exception into that enlightened state. So that there doesn't have the same words as the meaning that was presented earlier, but that meaning have in mind. May I always take rebirth where my lamas are present. May I have faith and meet them quickly, have faith and trust in them, and as well as receive teachings from them, have faith in the teachings, and apply myself to fulfilling them. So have that in mind whilst reciting the regular dedication prayers, such as this one. Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you very much.
Amen. Oh, yeah, don't go, but, oh, God.